settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week we'll be discussing overcoming life's obstacles, and if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
And hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST for the month of June, you'll be able to hear reruns of our shows as well. I believe that's from 11 till 12 noon every day of the week. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. So if you'd like to know more about us, our books and our CDs, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage on the show. Spirit guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you, and if you have a question relating to our subject of discussion, then as Sylvie said, pick up the phone, he'd love to hear from you. So I'll hand you over to Sylvie now, because I'm going to go. All right, have a great show, anyone.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Anyone.
Everyone.
Anyone and everyone.
Okay. Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They are an educational team. Have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence, and hopefully save the world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. It's a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication, because it's not only us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who are also listening and watching the experts in the team working in this way. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth and also those who would like to have one in the future, which is why as the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, with a concerted effort from everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And as we said, if you want to know more about us or our books, our website is spirit-teaching.com. And once again, the number to call, if you have a question for Gregory or some input to make on our subject, it's 877-876-5227. And I do believe Gregory is here with us now.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, dear friends. Once again, it is with absolute love, of course, that we are here, and I am so pleased and pleasured, as always, to be able to be with you at this time. I thank you for providing this platform to allow us to bring this form of communication to you at this time.
Well, the pleasure's all ours. And this week, I believe you're going to be talking to us about overcoming life's obstacles.
Yes. Many human beings in physical life place obstacles before them. They will place these obstacles in life because they do not wish to accept responsibility for actions or thoughts they bring about. They engineer themselves lapses of the mind, little idiosyncrasies that people have to do with their foibles or their flaws, their basic hereditary instincts are also possibly at fault. It may be that genetic basically they are displaced to being angry, or that through the environment in which they live, perhaps they are living in a negative place or dwelling, it may mean that that also has a negative impact upon them. How do you overcome such massive obstacles of life if you keep remembering them or regurgitating them? One of the principal failures that human beings have is of revisiting past memories, past events, which actually have no reference to their ability to proceed in life now. The problem is that casting one's memory back into a past failure enables you to revisit a place of familiarity. This familiarity itself sometimes encourages you to feel nested, to feel secure, even if that familiarity itself is a negative attrition you have brought about. So, for one reason or another, people somehow enjoy this feeling of revisiting this negativity they may have. I'm not saying that all people do. I'm just saying that it is a trait, a reason for why someone on your side of life would wish to focus upon an event that has already passed, that they can do nothing about, that has actually brought them to this place, perhaps, this time in their life where they are questioning their motives and movements of why or how they can carry forward their life plan. Perhaps it is that their life plan has actually come unstuck to this point, and that they are, or that you are, casting yourself back into trying to find an escape route of what you did wrong, undo that thing, and then you can proceed once again on your happy journey life. Obviously, for some people, it may be quite difficult for them to let go. You may have found that this is, in fact, something which keeps revisiting you. Perhaps it is stirring certain emotions within you, and that in revisiting this kind of scenario brings a familiar feeling, but also actually descends your energy into a negative spiral. Some people would actually have quite a negative trough and may even have to take medication in order to get themselves out of that trough. So this seems quite a normal situation that human beings move themselves into. What we are seeing is that people find difficulty in overcoming life hurdles which are past events. As I say, it is difficult perhaps for some people to live in the present, to actually be here and now. So overcoming the obstacles of yesterday actually has more apparent link to what futures may hold, what future windows may be in presenting an opportunity to you in your life so that you can search forward rather than actually looking backward. You are, if you are looking at this window of life to look forward, to search forward, you are in fact paying more attention to your intention to gravitate to that focus. This means you are able to create for that intention, your intention to win the day, even to win the moment, the argument. Perhaps it is that you have to win a solution to a problem that has been present in your past. How else are you going to overcome this hurdle of past life event if you keep referring to it or investigating it. And I'm not talking about the study of past lives here. I'm talking about your life. Your life now. Everything that you have done with it, seen with it, brought to the surface, been angry with and disillusioned by, or everything that has exalted you and created wellness within you, brought enlightenment upon stage of life, of how you can then move forward in beauty and bliss. Is this not really the perfect path for you to travel? Surely then it would be far better for you to have this open window upon life, to be able to look upon future dealings with a more positive outlook, a positive of creation. This positivity can work for you. It is just that for some people, being a dweller of past events means that you are cycling backward all day, every day. You are venturing into this cycle of defiance of what creation can bring. That is why you feel ugly. It is why you feel as though you are discontent. Why you feel sometimes angry with yourself, perhaps, as well. Discontent, of course, is with the mind game that people sometimes play. Take, for example, the situation of if you have a person who suggests that there is something happening to a particular community. Perhaps it is to do with your welfare. Perhaps it is to do with a suggestion that you are somehow being watched or observed by someone else. What this is creating for you is actually, it is creating a disturbance in your auric field. It is lowering your vibration. It is making you feel fear and awareness that links you with your present fear to the fear of past events you have already signified as being your failures in your past life. Therefore, these are things which you are able to compare in your life. And by comparing them, by drawing these comparisons to the surface, you are able to have a parity with them. It is not a joy, of course, but it means to say that you are underlining the cause of the event of your negative inclusion of now, when really, in fact, you do not need to have it, because it is really, after all, only hearsay, possibly, that the person has brought this news about, that you are being watched or whatever, some other fear thing. You see, in your community, it may be that some violent act has happened in your community which actually lowers your threshold to be able to withstand negativity. And therefore, because your positive path has been obstructed by this negative view, you are actually then linking these negative situations to past field events you have already incurred, things which you tend to remember more clearly as if they were yesterday, rather than the positive ones, because you are not associating with those. It is very strange that human behavior appears to remember those negative events rather than beautifying moments, rather than glory seas, which is what we call them, rather than staring upon the ocean of creativity and admiring the beauty someone brings to your life. Even if that thing that brings it to your life, this beauty, is not necessarily something that you would expect, how much of the beautiful moments, how many of these creative illuminations in your mind can you think of and write down in 10 seconds? You will find it actually quite difficult to remember those. Yet, I expect you can remember many, many things in 10 seconds of negativity because they are high upon your agenda, particularly if now you are feeling negative. And I incidentally, of course, hope that you are not feeling negative at this time because you are listening to me speaking to you. And that I hope that we are actually connecting in this moment, this field vibration being lifted by the very fact and knowledge that you may have that you will not die. There is a satisfying moment, a moment of relief for you and for me. For me, because I am the person who is relaying that fact. For you, because you are accepting it, hopefully. Or you are possibly drawing your own inference of that communication. Perhaps it is that you are actually wondering about it. It may be that the very fact I have raised it as an issue is something that, after a while, having been listening to my voice speaking, that you will not actually draw the conclusion that, after all, I am a dead being talking to you, but that, in fact, I am very much alive.
Very good. Yes, in your book, Spirit Walks with Gregory, you say about us taking life baggage and negative thoughts with us.
Yes.
That we carry it with us, and every now and again we get it out and take a look at it, the various memories and thoughts, and many of the things we would rather forget. And that much of it, because we haven't thought of it for such a long time, why do we let it bother us now?
Yes, absolutely so. It is as though there is this curiosity that human beings have in the temporal region or something like that, which identifies this anchor of their well-being. No, you cannot possibly have a good life because you have to remember these bad sections of it, these negative zones of your life when you were not a nice being or when life did not impact properly for you. Perhaps it was to do with someone who passed. Well then, let's just talk about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
If it was to do with someone who has passed and you think of them and this actually regurgitates in your life a bad memory or a negative memory, that is because you are remembering the negativity you felt upon their passing. Instead, what you should be reflecting upon is perhaps sending them a message of well-being because you have remembered them. And when you do that, they will draw close to you. If you send them a loving thought and a feeling of worthwhile state, thank you for being in my life, beloved one, even though you are no longer there. It is, after all, quite understanding that you would be remorseful about a lost friendship or something like that, particularly if it was one that was close. Family members, of course, are understandable too, but I must also reiterate it includes friends, because friends are so very important to all peoples in their lives. It is important for you to remember the friends with loving affection, and to be able to send that vibration, that love link, toward them. Because in doing that, it isn't as though you are trying to keep a memory alive of something that will never pass between you again. Because it will. You will see them again when you go home, when you come to our side of life. You will see them again when you bring information and understanding of your emotion and that tie which brought you to that memory. And you will actually use that emotion to send the love to them, to send the love that wells up within you from that well which you must remember will never dry, will never become full of dust and decay. It will always be a well for you to fill and to drink from, your well of love from within.
And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Nick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about overcoming life's obstacles And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227.
I do understand that if a person on your side of life has, say, shall we say, lost a loved one or a dear friend in a major historical event, that the very fact that it is or has been a major event will remain, that there will be a difficulty for you to lose that thought or to lose that memory or for it to dissipate and be less painful. And we do appreciate on our side of life that those events, those major situations which are life-altering for so many beings, if it is to do with the passing of one person who was centrally important to you in your life, it means that has been a historical marker for you in your life, a watershed, if you like, of your feelings and emotions. And as you draw them into conclusion, what you need to do is to focus on a positive, not to bring you away from that emotional feeling, but to actually use it as a powerful focal force for you to bring about good and change for that person in the spirit world. Because they may well need your loving energy, your thought memory, your precious gift that you can still give to them. So when you bring about this overwhelming thought within you, send it to them as a prayer, as a gift, or a gift of love from you to them. This will help them in their journey, and it will also, of course, help you to feel better about your grieving process. Grief takes sometimes years to overcome. So be good to yourself and remember that you do not have to overcome a sadness or grieving period at a specific time. It is whatever you can cope with. And no two people are able to cope with this situation in the same way. It is not necessarily that you would be defined as a weak-willed being for failing to overcome the loss or disappearance of a loved one, even if it was not a crucial historical event in the lives of your community, but one single affair to do with your own life and the precious gift of someone so close to you.
So, Gregory, which comes first, the negative feeling, and then you go into this spiral of failure and negativity, or a negative act or thought of past first, of how you
yes.
used to be, and then you go back into it?
It is almost as though for some human beings that they look for a negative empathy because they are feeling negative perhaps about themselves at that time because perhaps of a present failure. And it is usually a present failure to occupy the mind, a present failure in a small task they should have, you feel you should have overcome this very moment, that you could have done it prior to that person's passing or prior to that previous negative event, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, quite simply, just by allowing yourself to become overburdened with that negativity because it is something you have failed to create in your physical life, you are then attracted to and drawn to other previous negative life events, which is, it is as though you are underlying a facet of your capability, that is, your inability to proceed, to cope with, to pass and go beyond that feeling. As I say, in a sense, in a warped sense of mind, it can bring a form of security, even though it is a negative zone.
Yes. Is that a physiological effect, though?
Yes, because in revisiting this negative zone, it means that you are actually not necessarily focusing on the negative, although that may be something which happens, which then deepens the thrust of negativity. But what actually may happen is that you just absent-mindedly, in a sense, remotely connect to that event. And then it is merely just loosely connected and coupled with the present-day situation that you are trying to face that you have failed to achieve. That is why I'm saying that what you need to do is to try to separate these life events of past failure from present negative failures you are bringing about. And because, in part, you are bringing about these present negative failures because of this constitution, if you like, of you wishing to fulfill past errors.
But is there some sort of, endorphin or something that is released in the body? Because some people do actually live their life like this all the time.
Absolutely so, of course. Some people will actually thrive on the negativity and cannot possibly face a life without it.
Mm-hmm.
It, in fact, will become quite possible to be the same form of dis-ease that people very often get involved with when they become alcoholic or dependent upon cigarette smoke or some other kind of drug, you see.
Yeah, yes.
And that it resolves this same pathology of indication of importance, that if you do not feel important in your life, go back to a time when you at least felt something,
mm-hmm.
which enables you to release the feeling and therefore the energy, even though it is negative, it is still energy and something that you can then feel that you are at least having an interaction with.
Mm-hmm.
I know, yes, that through the veil of tears and all of that emotion which comes from it, you are trying to come to terms and come to grips with the facets of your personality and why you would want to keep doing that. But it is part of the, in a sense, the mechanical situation you are involved in, quite possibly, in being in this kind of inner turmoil. But what we are trying to do here is to show you how this works and how you can overcome it,
mm-hmm.
for a brighter future.
Absolutely. Is this a modern day, I won't say affliction or trait, shall I say?
Is it more common
in this modern time?
I would say that it is, quite simply because human beings at present are under great pressure and distress. Distress from failure, or distress from the object of the possibility of failure.
We have a caller?
Okay.
All right, it'll take me a few seconds. I'll put them on.
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I just want to say, totally enjoying the show. This is John from Chicago.
And
hello,
friend. Can you speak up a bit, John? Hi.
I'll try to speak a little bit louder.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
My question is there anything that is the embodiment of negativity? Tomorrow, a lot of people are talking because it's June 6, 2006. You know, 666, but is there an animal or a creature or something that symbolizes negativity that we can see?
Well, there may be, of course, in the eyes of human beings, goats, for example, because they are so linked to that other quasi-institution, the devil, or whatever I would have to say it is most unfortunate that goats suffer from such a bad retention of memory or focus for human beings. It is, of course, a nonsense and really just another way of trying to bring or institute negative failure or the alignment, perhaps, of extreme negative forces that human beings really do not need in their lives.
So there's no, there isn't really an embodiment of negativity in a form, animal or person.
Absolutely not. I cannot think for one moment why it would be that an animal would have a particular embodiment of evil to do with anything. The fact of the matter is that if you see an animal which is attacking another because it wants to eat it, it is only doing that because it wants food. Just the same as you, not personally, of course, but just the same as human beings would want to kill another animal just because the fact that they have a gun to do it or a knife to do it, does that mean, well, of course, it's a cleaner thing. It is more of a clinical thing, but the end result is still the same. If a lion could actually fire a gun, it would probably use one. It's far easier to catch and kill a buffalo with a gun than it is to actually jump on its back and bite its neck.
Mm.
So I unfortunately feel that many human beings place facets of animal behavior as being extremely negative, violent, or perhaps to do with evil thoughts or evil deeds. They are not. It is just because they are genetically responsible in that era of their life. They can do nothing else because that is their genetic trait and their environmental possibility. If they had learned to do it another way, I'm sure they would.
Hey, John?
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you, friend.
May
God
I ask,
bless.
Is there negativity associated with our bombings in Japan during World War II, you know, when they dropped the atomic bomb? Was that a very negative event?
It was an extremely negative event. However, of course, it was to do with a race of people who were having a negative implosion for themselves. It is not to say that all beings of that race had the same idea or ideal, did not have the same aspiration. Yet they were led into it, into that thought realm, into that deed themselves, in the way that they were treating other human beings and thought it justly so. And does that mean then that it actually reflects upon the path of responsibility they had then? Could you perhaps say that in respect of that, that the fact that such a large instrument of war was dropped upon them and caused so many fatalities and continues to do so to this very present day, does that mean to say that it has aligned those who perpetrated that act as being far above those whom they actually wrought asunder at that act? I can understand that the precipice of war had to be brought to a conclusion. I feel that because of the fact human beings designed the technology, they would use it one day, just as though they will use it again, because they still have it.
Okay.
I have to say, of course, that does this mean then that this particular race or that particular race have grown from that opinion, from that status? Well, it will depend, will it not, on how that group of individuals treat other races or other beings. So, are you saying then that Japanese people as a whole are not beautiful? Well, I am saying, of course, that they are. But you have to question motive. you have to question motive of why that scenario was brought in the first place. Yes, agreed, it was driven by hatred and driven by a lust for power on the part of those in that state, in that position, in their community. Yet there still seems to be a situation where human beings of one race or another unleash great harmful forces against other races or other beings. I wonder if you could say that Japanese people, for example, being as a whole race, have they really overcome their differences as a race if they continue to slaughter innocent whales? I feel that it brings into question how a human race overcomes their destiny and moves forward into the light. How you can say that you as a being wish to progress to the state of enlightenment or bring perfection of harmonic living to the soul of your life. How are you going to create this if you also institute harmful forces upon others with careless actions and thoughtless creation of destruction? Does it mean to say that race actually has not yet focused their attention upon well-being and harmony? If the act of one denies the act of the entire race the possible place of enlightenment, or is it just down to the act of one who utilizes it? Does it mean to say that the act of one, but on behalf of all others who actually sanction it in their own motivation, or withhold their voice and instead continue in silence, surely that is just the same as saying I agree with the killing of whales, or with the slaughter of dolphins, or with the slaying of any other mammal life, seal pups perhaps in the Canadian Arctic wastes. Another barbaric act that actually does not need to continue, and yet people regurgitate conclusions of past history and reenact them just for the sake of their ability to do so.
Okay, well, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
Okay, and if anybody else would like to phone in, the number is 877-876-5227. I would like to talk about maybe the lessons that we're learning from the things that that happen in our life, because many things that we take on board are necessary, aren't they, to be lessons to learn by.
Yes, of course. They are not necessarily life lessons which have been placed before you by some unseen force or hand. It isn't to say that you were sent there to learn these specific life lessons either.
No.
Because you weren't. Lessons come upon you perhaps because of the structure or the situation of the environment in which you live. If you say that they are to do with life lessons that were already preordained you had to make, it negates your free will. It means you do not have any access to free will thinking, but merely regurgitate some other puppeteer's life or someone else's curse to try to gain your freedom from it.
But it's a good way of turning a negative situation into a positive situation, isn't it? By thinking, okay, that was a lesson.
Absolutely so.
But it's not that, is it? It's once we've learnt them, we should let them go, shouldn't we?
Absolutely so, of course. You need to let them go. Otherwise, the lesson is not learned if you continually revisit the lesson.
Mm.
It may be that you need to bring it up once in a while in order that you may refer it to someone else, to bring it about in speech, to bring it about in communication, so that they may learn from your life lesson, perhaps that so that because you love them or because you have affection for them or because it is your job of work. It may just mean, quite simply, that you need to communicate this lesson in order that they do not need to make the mistake, the same mistake you have already made, and pay the penalty of your mind reference to it and its worrying and busying your life and your peace instead of worrying and busying theirs.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Learning from it and then letting it go, but remembering the lesson.
Is most important. Otherwise, it will have been a wasted journey.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem, I believe, for humanity is in the failure to accept responsibility for the lesson they have learned. Many people will actually try to sidestep their responsibility of the lesson, whatever that may be. It may be just a simple mundane thing. But well, it may be actually something which affects other people's lives quite drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You must ask for forgiveness of those errors you have created. Otherwise, you cannot let them go.
Well, growing and growing means change, and we're not very good at that. Change.
Of course not, because human beings like regularity, familiarity, like to have the path of a well-trodden and understood way. Repetition is something which brings peace and stability, and therefore people feel they are allowed to grow. A little like flowers in a field, I suppose. You would not necessarily see or observe that flowers move from one place to another place over a period of life. And yet, you would be completely wrong, because a flower actually does move all of the time. It moves from day to day. It shakes its head. It moves around to follow the sun. It follows the path of creation that gave it life. Which is a part of what you need to do as a human being. You need to grow with the path of creation. In this way, you will be more accepting to new challenges. A plant in a field will wither and die, perhaps, on the face of it, on the surface, but it will have cast its seeds to somewhere else, or it will have sent out a runner. A small root which will have the possibility of producing another plant at the end of it. Therefore, the plant that you see will not necessarily be in the same place, but will have moved 6 inches, just a few inches, or maybe a few feet, or maybe a few yards, depending on where the seeds have landed. The plant then that you see coming up the following year is full of renewal, because it has brought about within its life a new statement. I have moved to this new vantage point. I can see in a different aspect the sun, the moon and the stars, the birds and the creatures which fall at my feet or that move through my leaves, through my branches of life. You see.
Mm. So we need to reinvent ourselves, really, and well, not actually consider ourselves this failure, this person who fails all the time.
Absolutely.
But how do we not keep opening the door, the same door that we keep opening and we go through all the time and just keep going round and round and round?
Well, that is what I'm saying, that you have to understand that the creation of change is not a harmful thing. Therefore, you must accept that you can let go of situations which have brought extreme negativity or any form of negative solution to your life. You are able to move on from them. It is only the attraction that you bring to these thoughts which keep them alive. Negative situations may pass to the back of beyond of your mind consciousness if you allow them. The less attraction you give to negative thoughts, the less negative energy impact they will have in your life. The greater path to creation you can bring about in your focus of life means you will step forward and re-energize your open window. It means that you will have something new to observe, not a new negativity about your life, because that would be retracing and revisiting patterns you have already created. The situation with the flower analogy was only simply stated because I wish to show you that you as a being may move forward with every thought you bring to your mind.
Why is it that it is easier to revisit the negative times than the positive times in your life? You said earlier on that if you were to write it down, that you wouldn't be able to do it, and you're right.
It is more difficult because it is not a lasting energy, because people are drawn to negative attraction, because it is something which makes them nest. It makes people nest.
And the drug effect.
And the drug effect keeps them there, which is exactly what alcohol will do. It will make a person nest. It will make them go and revisit those painful memories or morbid thoughts. It will bring about an air of inclusion. Very well, I understand that many people who have too much alcohol will actually swing the opposite way and will become so inebriated that they actually fall over and giggle and laugh and do all of these insane things. Something I have to say that I was actually quite good at myself in my physical life. But I also learned other facets of life, even though my life was brief, you see. So what I'm saying is that, yes, there is a part where inebriation brings to the mind this careless attitude, this frivolity, this way of obscuring the pain and grief you have been in, because that is part of the soporific effect alcohol has upon you. And I'm just using this as a cursory label, you understand. And so that what will then happen is when you are removed from that situation, from that high that you experience, you are then deflated, which brings back the attraction of negativity. And there we are again. It is because of the fact that human beings are so easily led into the path of negativity, and how it is that path of negativity can so easily be reanimated, purely because negative energy is easy to feed.
But you've said before that positive energy is a much stronger energy.
It is, of course.
But it's not so accessible to us. Is it because there's so much negativity around?
Yes, quite so. Negativity tends to move in clouds, in vast clouds, vast energy fields of negativity move around the planet, particularly if a certain section of a community, for example, are actually exhibiting that energy themselves, are exhibiting that force field. It may be a particular place or region of a country, even, that actually suffers from such a negative revolt. This will cause great energy depletion within the heart and soul of the people living there. It will mean, actually, that it will be quite difficult for people to overcome this field of negativity or oppression. Therefore, there may be a higher incidence of alcohol abuse, because people struggle to try to deal with the negative implosion they are suffering from.
Can you see it? I know we can feel it.
Yes.
You know, obviously, I mean, we felt it, for instance, when we were driving into a reservation.
Yes, that
Nick,
is true, friend.
Nick and I couldn't believe it. You know, we thought, wow.
Yes, negativity very often appears yellow, as a yellow cloud.
Okay, yellow.
Yes.
Hmm.
It can also be orange.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit world, as you know or may not realize, someone who is lying, who is telling an untruth about their life, appears red. Their lie is red. And that is usually because of the negativity and anger which is attached to the lie. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And because a person does not want to be found out by the lie.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because then that means that the person has to face responsibility for it.
And would that person be, would it be read from, like, say, for instance, if you could see me telling a lie here, or somebody, not you because you're a spirit, but somebody else could see that, like they see auras, would
yes.
it be read here as well on the physical?
Yes, absolutely so.
And what about people that are depressed?
And people who are depressed, very often it can be a yellow or a dark orange
mm-hmm.
in color, very similar to negative field events which happen in physical life as displayed in the auric field of that life.
And like you say, the people that we share these bad times with learn from them as well.
Yes. If I just make another brief analogy,
yeah.
And that is to do with, you see, it is partly why people who suffer from the retention of negative fluids or perhaps an inability to be able to deal with certain poisons or caustic situations within their physical biosphere, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And what you will see is that they will have a yellow pallor to them. It is actually, of course, because their kidneys are unable to process the poisonous waste, which is then resulting and ensuing in every cell of their body, their outer body, the largest organ that they have, of course,
mm-hmm.
will be depicting it, you see, which, of course, is their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is just another example
mm-hmm.
of experiencing negativity, of something which is of a less than favorable nature to the positivity field of well-being.
Mm. Okay. So, going back to my question, I was
yes.
saying about people that we meet on our through our life, on our journey, that go through these situations with us, that everybody can learn a different lesson from one incident.
Absolutely so. It depends, of course, upon your stance upon it, does
yes.
it not?
Yes.
Your view of it
mm-hmm.
and how it relates to you in your life. I'm sure that all beings who observed the planes as they flew into the Twin Towers had their own feelings on that day and would know exactly what they were doing at that moment
mm-hmm.
when that event took place.
Mm-hmm.
It is because it leaves an indelible imprint upon your life. You are able then to understand all of the other situations which revolve around it, which is why I was saying that people are so attracted to negative field events, particularly with loved ones who have passed to the spirit world, to do with events which are painful memories. They are so clear and transparent because you remember other situations or feelings that you experienced at the same time. Because negativity very often brings clarity of what actually happened. You will find it, therefore, difficult to experience the same clarity of a positive field event, but that is because human beings tend to be more attracted to negative events, as I say, because it makes them want to feel secure in the nesting state, because human beings really want to nest away from negative actions, yet the negative action itself brings the attraction, which then enables them to nest.
Gosh. So, there's obviously actions that have irreparably damaged our lives, obviously just some so atrocious, like the one that you just mentioned,
yes.
Especially if you were involved in that in some personal way.
Yes, of course.
But are the other everyday things that we try to overcome in our lives, they're not irreparable, are they?
They are not. That is my point, that all of these things tend to add up, which is really why people tend to distort the facts of their life. And so because of the fact that negativity or negative situations loom larger because they are remembered, they are actually moved together, and they become larger and more imposing events, so supplying the failure of the human to identify with the struggle in a realistic way. The parameter is shifted. The advantage point of looking upon it is actually obscured because you are looking at it from a biased point of view, that of negativity, which is why if people practice meditation, they will actually overcome this biased state of observation of self into the path, in always observing this path of negativity, into actually bringing something of positive enactment and creation. That is, creating the well of love upon the island of peace.
Opening up a different door, actually discovering a door that you never knew was there.
Yes.
To walk through instead of the one that you keep going through and ending up back in the same place.
Yes, and actually finding that you can walk through this new door every day of your life, that it doesn't take a great deal of effort. It doesn't mean to say that you have to cast your mind back into days or fields of events which have brought misery. It means that you allow them to move beyond your present thought of now, so that you can create something of a betterment, something of a creation of worth in your life. How else are you going to possibly enrich your life and the life of others if you do not surmount these problems?
I don't think a lot of people can appreciate just how meditation works, because perhaps they've never done it and they just think, well, you know, I can't sit there and close my eyes and not think of anything. I mean, what happens within a person's body and makeup and chemistry for them to feel and induce new feelings?
Yes, it is really in bringing about this ability to meditate, to be still and peaceful, not necessarily to attract anything else. We are not talking here about communicating with guides or helpers or anyone in the spirit world in particular. We are talking about allowing your past to go, to leave you. That is all we are considering at this moment, and how you would invite new positivity into your life. You would just simply allow these past thoughts, forgive them. Forgive the things that you did in the life that you had then, which was not actually as inspired as it is now. You did not know the things you know now. Therefore, it isn't to say that you had an excuse to create them, but that by creating them, you have been there. You have experienced what you are not to do. Therefore, you do not need to revisit it to remind you. You don't need to do it. You do not need to experience it again. Simply, by creating this island of peace, you can actually refurbish your mind into understanding that you can do something which creates a different feeling within you. And it is important for you to recognize this different feeling as being a part of your life. Therefore, the more you bring about this decent feeling, this mission of positivity will actually bring you a different approach into how you deal with and tackle these past issues, that you may find through meditation that you do not need to continue to revisit them, because you have found a different creation path of energy for you to live upon.
And is this a new, just a new nest? Excuse me, a new nest? Like, does this release in a different kind of chemical endorphin, or?
It actually releases a very similar chemical endorphin. Mm. It is just that you are replacing the motive.
Right.
And that is really what you need to do. People tend to be stuck within their motives of past event, which is what I am saying. Focus needs to be drawn away. Forgiveness of those past events uttered and spoken in prayers, thoughts and feelings and emotions forgiven too. All of these things will allow you to move beyond those thoughts of self which you have uttered.
Retraining.
Yes.
Retraining the mind.
Yes.
And the body to be accepting and not expecting a certain way of functioning. So to stop a cycle.
Yes. Mm. Quite so. To change the cycle. Mm. Not really to stop it, but to change the cycle for a positive event, mm-hmm. rather than a negative one. Mm-hmm. You may still feel euphoric, perhaps when you take excessive alcohol. You may still move along that pathway if you wish. It doesn't mean to say that because you sit and meditate that you then will deny other practices in your life. They will be areas you will have to continue to work upon. But understand that meditation can give you something that all of these do not give you. Meditation does not give you bad dreams, does not bring about the errors of your past ways, does not coat you with alarm and fear at your inability to create and effect change in your life. Meditation brings you the end of chaos, and clarity welcomes a new day, a new window of opportunity.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Gregory. I'm sure that's helped a lot of people.
I do hope so, friend.
Yes, absolutely.
And with love and light, as always, blessings upon your pathway. In every thought and feeling you make upon the world, you make on behalf of everyone. Never forget it.
Okay, thank you very much. God bless.
God bless.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find information about us and our books. You can also purchase them from bookstores and Amazon.com, and as well as Spirit's Work on BBSRadio.com on Mondays and Thursdays. From now until the end of June, you'll be able to hear reruns of our shows. Details are on our site. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. My name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you so much for listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.